is the Hole Show, and I am not Brady Hole, but I am Brian Howell. Same initials, but new guy today filling in for Brady. And I'm Brian Howell from the Boulder Daily Camera. Cover the University of Colorado football and have been enjoying being a guest on this show, or a regular visitor to this show for the last couple of years. So I'm happy to be hosting today. I'll be with you for the next couple hours, and we'll talk a bunch of different things like Nuggets and CU, since that's what I know, and some NFL and Super Bowl, things like that. We got a couple good guests for you. Pat Rooney from the Boulder Daily Camera will join us today. He covers basketball for the Daily Camera, the Buffaloes basketball team, so we'll talk about that. And also Lindsay Jones from the Athletic. She covers the NFL and the Broncos and has done so for a number of years, and in the second hour we will talk to her. So lots of things going on in the sports world, and first off, let's get to the power to play poll question today that Brady has up on the website. Who will have the better career when it's all said and done between Jamal Murray or Michael Porter Jr. of the Denver Nuggets? And you can go to wholeshow.com to vote. And we're going to talk about some Nuggets today. And a very good question, especially after that game last night for the Denver Nuggets. And they beat the Dallas Mavericks 117-113, and Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. both played big roles in that game, and for different reasons. Jamal Murray was really good early in this game, 16 points, 7 for 11 shooting, had a couple of rebounds, 3 assists. Denver up 7 points in the third quarter when he decides to take himself out of the game. And I don't think that was his intention, but has a little altercation with Tim Hardaway Jr. of the Mavericks, where he gives him a little shot below the belt, and the officials said, yeah, we're not going to have that here. And so they eject Jamal Murray in that game after, he was playing really well. Denver up 7 at that point. They actually get down by 7 points, but then come back and win the game. And Michael Porter Jr., a big reason for that comeback. He has 30 points, 6 of 10 on 3-pointers, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, and, really playing, like the potential that we've seen out of him. So both those guys were instrumental and or had big roles in that game for different reasons. Both played well, but Jamal took himself out of that game. So the poll question, who will have the better career between those two? I think that's a great question, because I think right now the answer would be Jamal Murray is having the better career. Of course, he's been playing longer. This is his fifth year. Michael Porter's in his second year. I love Jamal Murray. He's played some really good basketball in his career. This season, averaging 19 points, about 4 rebounds and 4 assists, and still young. They're both young guys. Jamal, he'll be 24 next month. Michael Porter is only 22 years old. He's only played 7 games this year, 18 points off the bench mostly, 7.4 rebounds and 1.3 assists. So I think right now you would say Jamal. He's kind of been, he's shown some superstar potential, especially in the playoffs last year. He was fantastic in their playoff run at times, and really showed that superstar level. But I think Michael Porter Jr. might have the bigger upside. And if you had to choose, man, I don't know who I'd pick there. I might go with Michael Porter Jr., but I do love Jamal Murray. My son, who is 10, he's our sports kid. He loves Jamal Murray. He's a big Murray fan. So I like him too. I like the game. Now, if this was a different question, which one will be with the Nuggets longer? I think I'm going to go with Jamal Murray, because I think Porter seems like a guy that might play his way out of Denver and be a guy that moves on at some point. But that's a topic maybe for another day, because they got Porter locked up for a little bit. But both those guys instrumental. And, of course, the superstar of the Nuggets is Nikola Jokic, and he is their main guy. But I think for me, the biggest complaint I have with Jamal Murray is that he doesn't do it every single night. I love what he does most nights, but he'll have that game where he comes out and just kind of disappears. Has 5 points, 4 assists, and just doesn't do a whole lot. And he can play like a superstar, but I don't think he is a superstar yet. You look at guys like Damian Lillard of the Trailblazers, their off games might be a 12 points, 9 assists. They're still affecting the game. I don't think Jamal quite does that yet. So I'd like to see him be more consistent. But both these guys, you know, right now 23 and 22 years old. I love both of them. I'd love to see both of them along with Jokic be Nuggets for a long time, and we'll see how that goes. But the Nuggets, you got to like the way they're playing. You know, rough start, 1-4 to the start to the season, and it didn't look good. I mean, we were kind of wondering what was going on. This was not the team we saw in the bubble last fall that that went to the Western Conference Finals, but they're 9-3 since then. They're looking really good, sitting at 10-7 right now, fourth in the West, which I expect them, if they keep playing like this, they're going to move up. I mean, they look pretty good, although the three teams ahead of them are pretty good. Now, they are 2.5 behind Utah in the Northwest Division. Utah is on an 8-game winning streak and playing really well. But the Nuggets, 9-3 in their last 12, 3-0 on their current road trip, and they still got two more games left on that trip. They're at Miami on Wednesday night and at San Antonio on Friday. And then they bring the Jazz here on Sunday, which should be a good one. So that'll be a big one for the Nuggets. This is a big week for them, and you've got to have guys like Murray and Porter and Jokic. They've all got to play well. So, but it's a good question today. Again, go to wholeshow.com to vote. Which Denver Nugget will have the better career when it's all said and done, Jamal Murray or Michael Porter Jr.? And, you know, I'm torn. I don't know which one. I think I'm going to go Michael Porter on that one, but you know, I hope that they both have great careers in their Nuggets for a long time. And I know it's been fun watching them so far. And we'll see what happens with the Nuggets as they come down the stretch of the season. But, you know, they've been fun to watch this season, at least the last 12 games. They've looked really good. And, you know, big game for them last night down in Dallas, winning that one. So, you know, throughout this show today, we're going to talk a little bit about the Nuggets. We're going to talk about the Avalanche, who, you know, they're kind of getting their season rolling. They're only six games in, sitting at 3-3, fourth in the West. We're also going to talk a lot of CU, because that is what I know. And you know, that's what I cover. So we're going to talk a lot of CU and also some NFL and Broncos and things like that. So, lots of things, going on in the sports world, and really locally, you know, it is the Nuggets and Avs that are in season right now. And, you know, the Avalanche, you know, again, you know, 3-3, fourth in the West, lost at Anaheim on Sunday, but they are home tonight. They play San Jose at home at Ball Arena. And I'm still getting used to saying Ball Arena, by the way. I still want to say Pepsi Center because to me, it's the can, but it's Ball Arena. So the NHL is doing the two-game sets. So they got two games at home against San Jose tonight and also on Thursday. So, you know, big couple of games for the Avalanche to try to, you know, make some movement here early in the season in the Western Conference. But we're also going to talk some CU basketball. I mean, the Buffs are playing some good basketball. They had a bad one against Washington last week, but overall they're playing some good basketball this season, and 5-1 in their last six games. And gotta like the way that they are playing right now. So some good things going on, you know, locally here. And, you know, but first off, it does start with the Nuggets. And, you know, we'll see if the Nuggets can keep this up. I mean, I think they're one of the best teams in the West. They're proving it the last 12 games or so. And, you know, we'll see, you know, how things continue, with the Nuggets. But, you know, for now, I think, you know, as far as, you know, CU basketball goes, I mean, that for me is, you know, what I cover mostly. And, you know, the Buffs have a lot of big games coming up. They've got five games at home. Their next five games are at home. 5-1 in the last six, five at home in a row, and they're sitting fourth and they're tied for third in the conference right now. They've got a chance to really make a run at the Pac-12 title, which they've never even been top four. So if they can make a run at that title, you know, I think that they are, you know, sitting pretty right now. So we're going to talk more about that later in the show, but we're going to get to a break here in a minute and, you know, come back and talk more CU football and basketball. And we'll be right back for that after a break.
Follow your UNC Bears all the way to March on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Welcome back to the whole show. This is not Brady Hull. This is Brian Howell from the Boulder Daily Camera, filling in for Brady today, and happy to do so as, you know, coming back to kind of where I got my start in journalism years and years ago. Seems like a really long time ago. You know, hopefully there's still some old timers out there that remember me from back in the day when I worked at the Greeley Tribune in the mid 1990s, covering a lot of high school sports, covering some UNC football, and, you know, it's hard for me to believe that, you know, I covered the UNC football team that won the national title in 1996, its first national title. And this is the 25th anniversary of that team, which is, you know, unbelievable to me. But still one of the best you know, years that I've had, or most enjoyable times I've had in my career, is covering that 1996 UNC football team led by Coach Joe Glenn and quarterback Tom Beck. And so many good players there. Delano Washington. I think Billy Holmes was the running back at that time. And, you know, so, you know, really a lot of good times there, and traveling with the KFKA crew even back then. So it was a lot of fun covering that team, and a ton of high school sports I covered back in the day up here. Remember, you know, guys like TJ Runnels and Sean Chacon playing baseball at Greeley West and Greeley Central, respectively. Covered a basketball title by the University High. Boy, what's their nickname? I forget. Is it the Bulldogs? Bulldogs, yeah. University High Bulldogs. It's been a long time. Sorry, university fans out there. It's been a long time. But 1996, I covered their title. They played Eaton. That was an awesome state tournament down in Colorado Springs. So I think Travis Andre was the star of that team down there. And I'm still good friends with his brother, Troy, who works over at CU. And you know, he and I worked together on a lot of Buff stuff up there. But you know, lots of good high school sports up here. And speaking of that, KFKA is actually going to broadcast a boys basketball game here tomorrow night, Highland at Eaton at 7 p.m. here on KFKA. And, you know, some really good, you know, small school basketball up here in this area. I've always enjoyed covering the high schools up in this area. So it's been a lot of fun. But of course, for me, you know, the most fun I had was covering that UNC Bears football team, and just a lot of fun in those days. And that 96 year, by the way, was also a really good year for the Greeley Central football team. They were in the state title game that year as well. I don't remember if they won it, but I know that they played their state title game on the same day that UNC played in the national quarterfinals, I believe, against Northwest Missouri State here in Greeley. So it was a big day for the Glenn family because Joe Glenn's son was on that Greeley Central football team. So a lot of good memories here in Greeley, and so I always enjoy coming back up to Greeley and sitting in these KFKA studios. So again, you know, filling in for Brady today. And want to remind you one time again about the Power to Play poll question of the day. Who will have the better career when it's all said and done, Jamal Murray or Michael Porter Jr., a couple of young nuggets, both of them under 24 years old at this time. So go to wholeshow.com to vote. We talked a little bit about that before. Both those guys instrumental in the game last night against the Mavericks. So a good time for that poll question. So Jamal Murray or Michael Porter Jr. So I do cover a lot of Buffs, and so I want to talk a little bit about the Buffs. As far as football, there's been some news recently we want to talk about. Yesterday, on Monday, it was announced that the CU versus Texas A&M game, which is scheduled for September 11th, is actually going to be moved to Empower Field at Mile High in Denver. I know there's been a lot of, at least what I've seen, you know, from Buff fans, there's been a lot of you know, mixed reaction to that, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. That game is actually, when they signed that agreement back in 2015, it was, you know, planned that they could have played that in Denver. I think it was pretty inevitable they were going to play that in Denver. I know some fans are upset about that, but I think that's a good thing for CU ultimately, especially after a year like 2020 where, you know, everybody lost so much money. And this is maybe an opportunity for them to have more fans in the stands. Now, we got to see if there's actually going to be fans. That's our hope right now. Are there going to be fans in stadiums this year? There was not for CU football games this last last year. So whether there will be this year, we don't know. But we're hoping that, I mean, this game is, you know, what, about 9 months out at this point? No, not nine, about 7.5 months out. So we're hoping that by then there are fans. But I think this will be a good thing for the Buffs. That'll be their second game of the season, hopefully. Of course, we have to say hopefully on everything right now, because you never know the way the last, you know, 10 months have gone, what's going to happen. But as it stands right now, the Buffs are scheduled to open their season September 3rd against the UNC Bears in Boulder. So that'll be a fun one. They played a couple of years ago in Boulder for the first time in about 450 years. I don't know how long ago it was, but they played for the first time in a long time up in Greeley. The Bears actually had a pretty good showing early in that game, but the Buffs pulled away. So they will play on a Friday night, September 3rd. I'll be interested to see, you know, what the Bears look like under Coach Ed McCaffrey, because it seems like he was hired a long time ago, but he hasn't coached a game yet, you know, because the season was canceled. I don't know what their spring is going to look like this year. I know that it sounds like they're not going to play the Big Sky schedule, but they might try to get a couple games in. So hopefully they can do that and sort of get that football feel back, so that by the time they play the Buffs on September 3rd, it's not so foreign to them. And Coach Eddie Mack has got a couple games under his belt. But that September 11th game against Texas A&M, that'll be a big one for Buff fans. And, you know, we'll see when tickets go on sale. It should be later this spring. But I think that'll be a big thing for the Buffs and, you know, get them on national TV. And really, it was kind of a choice. You know, once that game was canceled last year, you know, Texas A&M could have canceled this year's game as well. That was in the contract. So really, for the Buffs, it was probably a matter of play that game in Denver or have it canceled and replace A&M with somebody like Central Arkansas and play them in Boulder, which, you know, doesn't quite have the appeal. Now, they probably don't beat Texas A&M. Don't tell the Buffs I'm saying that. But Texas A&M is going to be a top five, top 10 team. The Buffs are not. That's going to be a tough one for them. They would probably have a better chance against a Central Arkansas or a team like that. But that's okay. This is going to be a big one for them financially, and the Buffs need all the help they can get financially. A couple other things. They've had a lot of guys enter the transfer portal. And just had another one right before the start of this show, actually. KJ Trujillo, a defensive back who was a starting cornerback for them in 2019, kind of got passed up and moved to safety this year and played a little backup safety and cornerback this year, but a really good depth piece and just a true sophomore. He's from California. He has decided to enter the transfer portal. They have had seven guys since the regular season finale that have put their name in the transfer portal. And so, you know, that's kind of interesting. Although, you know, a lot of Buff fans wondering, you know, what's going on with that program up there. And frankly, it's just college football right now. You look around, there are so many teams that have so many guys in the transfer portal. Utah, last I checked, had 10. I think Washington State had 10 or 12. So there's a number of teams that have multiple guys in that transfer portal. I had somebody tell me recently there's about 2,000 guys in the portal and about 500 spots available. So there's a lot of guys that are entering that transfer portal that may not have a spot to go to. So it's interesting for the Buffs because they have had, you know, seven guys go in, including a couple of defensive starters. Safety Darian Rakestraw, linebacker Akeel Jones were guys that were seniors. They would have been six-year seniors this coming year, and you know, they decided to move on. And I know, you know, at least you know, a couple of those guys wanted to stay here, but they were sort of somewhat encouraged to move on just because, again, as CU looks at finances and things like that, you know, adding those extra scholarships cost money. And for some of those guys, if they've already graduated, there was maybe some encouragement to move on. Darian Rakestraw has committed to Tulane. We don't know about Akeel Jones yet, but the Buffs are going to miss some defensive starters. It's going to be a different team this next year, but that transfer portal is so interesting right now. You know, and speaking of McCaffrey, you know, talking about UNC coach Ed McCaffrey, his two sons are both in the transfer portal now. His other son, I get them mixed up, but the one that was in Nebraska, I think, is Luke, and he just put his name in the transfer portal today. The other one, Dylan from Michigan, has put his name in the transfer portal as well. So the McCaffrey brothers are in the transfer portal looking for a new spot. So yeah, there's a lot of guys in the transfer portal, a lot of movement. It's sort of college free agency in a way, and it's interesting to watch what's happening there because you know, there's so much movement, and we'll see if all those kids get opportunities. I think the worst thing about it would be those kids that leave an opportunity and then don't find a spot, and they end up, not being able to go to school or something like that. So hopefully all those kids will find a spot. I don't think the McCaffrey brothers will have any trouble whatsoever finding a spot, because they are talented and they were, highly rated recruits coming out of college or out of high school. So I think they'll be just fine. But that transfer portal is an interesting aspect to college football right now. And it is a little bit of, like I said, college free agency. So a lot of movement there with the bus. They've also got a couple of, coaching situations going on. They let their strength coach go. Their defensive coordinator, Tyson Summers, they let go and they moved on from him. And their tight ends coach, Taylor Embry, has moved on to the New York Jets to join that coaching staff there. So the Buffs do have some vacancies to fill on that coaching staff. I expect Chris Wilson, the defensive line coach, to take over as the defensive coordinator. That's not been announced, and I know they're still working through that, but that's kind of my expectation, is he's going to be that new defensive coordinator. I don't know what they're going to do with the strength coach, but Coach Carl Durrell entering his second season and really his first full offseason with the Buffs is a busy man, and he was not happy. It was a good season, 4-2 when you look at it, but those last two games were kind of ugly. The last one being really ugly, the Alamo Bowl, 55-23 loss to Texas. He was not happy about that. And so he's got a lot of work to do. He is a busy man this offseason. So lots of things going on with Buffs football. And for now, we're going to take a break, though, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that after the break here on The Whole Show.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
And this is The Whole Show. This is not Brady Hole. This is Brian Howell from the Boulder Daily Camera, filling in for Brady today, and happy to be here in Greeley. Always love coming to Greeley. And first off, let's talk about the Power to Play poll question of the day. Go to wholeshow.com to vote. Which Denver Nugget is going to have the better career when it's all said and done, Jamal Murray or Michael Porter Jr.? We talked a little bit about that earlier in the hour. I think my vote is going to be Michael Porter Jr., but I am hoping both those guys are around for a very long time and have good careers as Nuggets. That trio with Jokic, Porter, and Murray has a chance to be, a really good trio, one of the best in the NBA. So I'm hoping that those three guys stick around for a long time. So sticking with basketball, we're going to talk some Buffs basketball here in a little bit with Pat Rooney of the Boulder Daily Camera. Buffs playing really well right now. First off, UNC Bears, though, 8-7, 5-5 in the Big Sky Conference. On Thursday night, they will play at Northern Arizona, a team that is a little bit down in the Big Sky Conference standings right now. Northern Arizona comes to Greeley on Saturday, so the Bears have a chance to make some move in the Big Sky standings this week with a couple of wins there. The Bears playing well. Bodie Hume, 15.1 points per game, 7.1 rebounds per game, and the Bears did lose their last time out, but they won three in a row before that. And we heard in the highlights a little bit ago, Dalen Kuntz, former Colorado Buffalo, doing really well in his first year as a Bear, 13.3 rebounds per game, and that's been fun to watch him play and have some success with the Bears. But the Buffaloes, who did beat the Bears back in December, December 14th, 81-45, they beat the Bears. And they have really just been kind of cruising through most of this season. Had a bump in the road last week against Washington, which at the time Washington was winless in the Pac-12, but that's a Washington team that's playing a lot better in recent games. They almost beat UCLA right before playing the Buffs, and then came back after beating the Buffs and beat Utah. So Washington playing a lot better right now. With the Buffs, even with that loss, 5-1 in their last six games, they're 12-4 overall, 6-3 in the Pac-12, and tied for third with Arizona, which is ineligible for the postseason because of some bad things they did, some mistakes that they made, the Arizona Wildcats program. So a self-imposed postseason ban for Arizona. So the Buffs really sitting in third place right now, playing good basketball. They have the next five at home and playing some good basketball right now. So you know, I cover the bus for the Boulder Daily Camera, and there is a lot going on. Women's basketball as well. They had a big one, last week. They beat number one at the time, Stanford, and then had a disappointing one against Arizona State. They've got a couple games this weekend as they try to bounce back as well. But really, it's that men's basketball team that we're looking at. Should have been in the NCAA tournament last year, but of course it was canceled. We'll see if they can get there this year. They look like they are a possible lock for that tournament, but we'll see. We're going to talk to Pat Rooney about that in a little bit. As far as going back to bus football, 4-2 on that season, and like I said, Carl Durrell doing some things right now in the offseason. He's got a lot of work to do. The Buffs looking at starting spring football here in a couple months, towards the end of March, and coming off that 4-2 season, it was a good start for Durrell and his staff. But there are some changes. We're seeing some player movement. We're seeing some coach movement, and clearly he is not a coach that is satisfied with a 4-2 season, especially when it ends with a couple of losses in a row. And that Alamo Bowl was ugly. I was down in San Antonio. Great city, but not a good football game. I've been there now twice for the Alamo Bowl, and both times have been ugly. 38-8 loss to Oklahoma State in 2016. 55-23 loss to Texas this year. So, San Antonio, great city, but not fun for a bowl game if you're a bus fan the last couple times out. But yeah, lots of things going on with the Buffs, and certainly the focus right now is on Tad Boyle and his Buffs as they are making some moves there in the Pac-12. And we're going to talk to Pat Rooney about that here in a little bit on the other side of a break.
Keep up with your favorite high school basketball teams with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. No Co. Now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
This is the whole show, but not Brady Hull. This is Brian Howell from the Boulder Daily Camera filling in for Brady today. And obviously, being from the Boulder Daily Camera, I cover a lot of Buffs. And so does our next guest here, my colleague Pat Rooney from the Boulder Daily Camera. He covers the men's basketball team, also a little football and really everything else. So, Pat, how you doing?
Good, Brian. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining me.
Don't quit your day job.
I will not be quitting my day job. I appreciate you coming on and helping me here today. But let's talk some CU basketball because, obviously, that's the team you cover. You were just up in Washington where, that has never really been a kind trip to the Buffaloes. And it wasn't as kind as it could have been last week either. So, but 1-1 on the trip. What's your thoughts as the Buffs come off of that trip? They lose at Washington and then bounce back against Washington State.
Yeah, obviously Washington was a game you kind of expected them to go in and win. Hasn't been a great venue for the Buffs. Like you said, neither of them on that trip has been since they joined the Pac-12. But Washington had been winless in Pac-12 play to that point. The Buffs had beaten them in a game that was played as a non-conference game and beat them rather handily a month earlier in Las Vegas. But I'll tell you what, right now it's a different Washington team. They are coming off a near upset at UCLA. The previous weekend, and they'd start shooting the ball a little bit better. They've made some personnel moves since the Buffs had played them in December. Eric Stevenson, for instance, kind of being a primary guy who wasn't really playing a lot, and he's in December, but has really been shooting the ball well. Jamal Bay, Tyler Bay's cousin, is really starting to come on of late. So Washington was 0-7 and they improved to 1-7. I don't think that will be 1-7 after their next 8 games. And in fact, they completed a weekend sweep and beat Utah a few days later. So Washington playing a little bit better. They shot really well that night. Tad Boyle was disappointed with the Buffs' perimeter defense at Washington. Offensively, they played pretty well. They couldn't hit a 3-pointer. If they managed to hit a couple, they would have won the game. But still shot the ball well. Had a low turnover, 5 turnovers. Their lowest game since a 5 turnover game in 2012. So a lot of good things in that game. Just Washington really played the best game of the season for them up to that point. And I'll tell you what, the Buffs really salvaged one at Washington State. It was looking like it was going to be a disastrous trip. Halfway through the first half, the Bucks are down 18 points, and McKinley Wright is on the sideline with a knee injury. He doesn't come back the rest of the first half, but I'll tell you what, they found some fortitude. They managed to come back. The rally started while McKinley was on the bench, and by the end, they'd won 11. It was a 29-point swing over the last 30-plus minutes or so of that game. McKinley Wright wound up being fine. He's been, kind of been dealing with a bruised knee the last few weeks and aggravated on the play, but not only to come back on the road, but to really get it going with your big leader on the sideline. You know, if the Buffs wind up making a run, that could be a game you look at that, you know, maybe really instilled some confidence into this group.
Yeah, first things first, though, with McKinley, you know, everybody always gets nervous every time he goes down. I mean, he had the shoulder thing, I think it was last year, and was able to battle through that. What are your thoughts as what's your sense as you talk to Tad and the other guys around the program? How is McKinley doing as we go into this week?
Oh, I think he's okay. I think we saw in the second half he played great. He had all 12 of his points. He had all 7 of his rebounds and 4 of his 5 assists in the second half as, you know, the Buffs kind of wound up, you know, overcoming that deficit and really, you know, kind of won going away. So he's fine. You know, if he gets knocked directly on it again, you know, we might see a similar situation where he kind of has to shake it off on the sideline, but I wouldn't expect it to be anything that keeps him out for any significant time moving forward from here.
Yeah, that's good to hear because McKinley, obviously one of the better players in the country, just named the other day top 10 finalists for the Cousy Award, which goes to the top point guard in the country. So they kind of need him, Pat. You know, you mentioned the Buffs potentially making a run and how key McKinley will be. Speaking of making a run, I mean, the Buffs have the next 5 games at home, and that was not originally scheduled. I know there's a couple of reschedules in there, which benefits them. They've really got a chance these next 5 games to make a move, don't they?
Yeah, and of those 5 games, you know, Arizona's coming here next week. They're playing pretty well right now. And the Buffs already lost there to open Pac-12 play at the end of December. But, you know, you look at the other 4 games, you know, this week a rematch against Washington State, and then they've got Utah at home. And then they got the Arizona schools. Arizona State is really struggling right now, and you finish it off with Oregon State in another makeup game, you know, 2 Mondays from now, 2 weeks from today. So, you know, a handful of winnable games here. If you come out on the other side of it, if you sweep all 5, you're right in the thick of things, on the other side of this 2-week run. And, you know, you would think your fate's in your own hands. UCLA finally lost a game this past week to at least close the gap a little bit, but they've set the bar pretty high. Only 1 league loss so far. The Buffs already 2 behind in the loss column. They get UCLA here later in the season, so there's still that out there. But if you don't take care of business at home, it's hard to see the Buffs making a run on the other side of that. They still have the Oregon trip, they still have the Bay Area trip, and then 2 pretty good LA teams coming in here to finish things out. So obviously, we'll see if the schedule holds up like that. It's obviously, as you know, nothing set in stone this year. But this is a great opportunity. You know, it begins Wednesday against the Buffs. Tad Boyle will tell you they can only play them 1 at a time. But huge 5-game run here at home. That you know, if the Buffs can sweep them, they'll be in great shape on the other side of it.
Yeah, you mentioned the 2 LA teams, pretty good. They're the 2 teams sitting 1-2 right now. UCLA 8-1 in the conference, Pat. But, you know, like you mentioned, they got their first loss. They did not play well the previous 2 games either. You know, really kind of squeaked by Washington, kind of squeaked by Cal, where it looked like they might lose that one. Then finally Stanford gets them. Is that a team that you think can sustain that? Or do you feel like when UCLA, like you said, we'll see how the schedule holds up. But if they come here for the season finale, is that still going to be a team with 1 loss, or are they going to have 2 or 3?
Yeah, I mean, I still think UCLA is a team to beat. But I also think they're not going to, you know, have another kind of 8-0 run within the league. They still have a lot of tough games left. They still have both against Oregon. They still have both against USC. They still have to come here to play the Buffs in Boulder. So, you know, and I think at some point that Chris Smith injury, they lost him for the season right at the beginning of Pac-12 play, an all Pac-12 player last year, you know, very nearly didn't even come back this year and went to the NBA draft. He goes down, but they really didn't miss a beat. They've got a deep team. I think they've found a pretty good coach in Nick Cronin, and it's kind of bought into his defensive schemes here in his second year. But, you know, they have a lot of tough games still ahead, and, you know, some of the other front runners in the league. And the way this league, you know, teams tend to beat up on each other in this league. So,
yeah.
You know, I think UCLA will come back to the pack a little bit, you know, but I think that's why the Buffs have to take advantage of this. They're already two games behind. Dropping a few games at home will, you know, kind of not allow them to make a move if and when UCLA comes back to the pack a little bit.
Yeah, you know, the Buffs have been really good at home. And it's interesting, Pat, because, you know, we've seen teams, you know, whether it's football, basketball, whatever, that might have a good year. You know, CU football in 2016 was a good example of that, that, you know, you had a group of seniors, they had a great year, and then they graduate and things kind of went back down the other way. The sign of a good program is when you can do it year after year when the personnel changes. And we're seeing that with the Buffs under Tad Boyle. We've seen it for a number of years. But, you know, they lose Tyler Bay to the NBA last year, and what do? They go up and pick up Jariah Horn. They get Jabari Walker. Both those guys are playing really good. Talk about kind of the program that Tad's got going there and really how they're able to sustain losses like a Tyler Bay.
Yeah, you know, I've said this in, you know, some columns and stuff. I think Tad Boyle's just a great coach for his program. There's people out there that disagree, and I at times can see where they're coming. Buffs fans are starved for more. You know, they've been in the NCAA tournament four times, would have been a fifth time last year. As you know, you cover the team for a while. They only won one game in all those appearances and then lost in the second round. And I've lost in the first round every other time. You know, teams want to see a run. Fans want to see a run. Fans want to see a Sweet 16 team. You know, last year's team, they thought maybe they had it. Obviously, they were not playing well at the end of the year, so it, you know, would have been hard to be confident going into the NCAA tournament. But they would have been there. They would have had a fighting chance. I think, you know, five NCAA tournaments, you know, would have been five NCAA tournaments in 10 seasons for Colorado is an amazing run. I think they will get back there this year. And the way they've been able, you know, to sustain it, you know, Tad Boyle just likes building programs. I think I asked him a similar question about that ahead of the Washington game, because that's a program that's been struggling this year. It's really crashed back to earth after losing, you know, they've lost one and done guys and, yeah. You know, another key player that was two and done. You know, Tad Boyle likes building a program. I mean, even Tyler Bay left early. He was here 3 years. You know, Jabari Walker, I don't think he's going to be here 4 or 5 years. The way he's playing, but I think he'll be here at least a couple years. He's got another really good recruiting class coming in next year. You know, he's got guys like Tristan Da Silva and Luke O'Brien on the bench. You know, and Nick Clifford from Colorado Springs, who aren't getting a lot of time right now and are kind of getting the advantage of kind of a live action redshirt year with the possibility of eligibility relief that's available with this season that the NCAA ruled about because of the kind of pandemic situation. So, I mean, the program's in great shape going forward. Obviously, McKinley Wright is going to be a loss next year. They've kind of had Keyshawn Bartholomew waiting in the wings playing this year, redshirted last year, could get his feet wet. So, you know, it's just the way Tad Boyle believes that he can sustain, you know, a competitive program at Colorado is following this model. And, you know, I know fans want to see more. I get that. But it's hard to quibble, I think, with the results and the fact that, you know, even when they lose McKinley Wright, you know, this program looks like it's in pretty good shape for years to come.
Yeah. A couple quick things before we let you go. You know, you said fans want a Sweet 16 team. Is this team capable of getting to the Sweet 16 this season?
Capable? Absolutely. You know, I thought that at the same time at this point of the season last year. You know, things have to go well. You know, you need a good bounce here. You need a shot to fall, things like that. You know, I don't want to say luck, but things have to go your way at certain times. But, you know, they have an experienced point guard who's playing his best basketball of his collegiate career in McKinley Wright. You got that senior point guard. You got a leader. You got Evan Batty, who's playing better and better and, you know, kind of taking the team on his shoulders this past week when McKinley Wright was out and showed a lot of leadership. Deshaun Schwartz is probably still runs a little hot and cold, but when he's scoring and playing aggressive, this team is hard to beat. You know, Jabari Walker is really improving in a hurry. Jariah Horn has been a very pleasant surprise as a graduate transfer, the way he is really kind of fit in seamlessly into this rotation. You know, Dallas Walton is making a much bigger contribution than we saw out of him last year when he was coming back from a knee injury. So they've got all the pieces. They've got depth and versatility. You know, so certainly they're capable. You know, it comes down to the draw. We'll see how they finish this year. I think a lot of fans are going to be skeptical until they see this team finish strong, given the way last year's team finished. But certainly they're capable, and I love the way McKinley Wright is playing right now. He's really kind of taking his game to another level as a senior. Yeah.
Well, thanks, Pat. We really appreciate it. We got to get out here, but we appreciate your time, and we'll watch how the Buffs finish off this season.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Brian.